to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a very beautiful instrumental version of a song that we all know and love. And, of course, we are winding down this week's messages in our verse-by-verse study of the Book of Acts, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. And we'll get to all of that in just a moment. But first, I want to ask you to please remember us in prayer each and every day as we continue on with this ministry. We need your support in prayers and donations to keep the program on the air. Well, right now, let's hear Softly and Tenderly, and then Dr. Green.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy word. Dear Lord God, help us to rightly divide the word. Help us to instruct believers. And I pray the word of God will convict and convince unbelievers, and may souls be saved for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in verse 41, Acts 2, 41, I read this verse on the last broadcast, but I read it again. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, lest someone misunderstand me, I made the statement. It always has been a puzzle to me. Now, I know that God could have raised up and appointed enough men to baptize 3,000 people by immersion that day. But now, I believe with all of my heart that this has a deeper meaning. I believe that these 3,000 souls were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe in water baptism. I believe in immersion. And I believe that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And I believe that John put him under the water. I believe the eunuch was baptized. And I believe Philip put him under the water. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone who does not believe in immersion. I believe the Bible teaches immersion. I believe that. But let me hasten to say this. immersion in water does not save us. It does not help to save us, and it has nothing to do with salvation. That's the reason I say in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, they were baptized because they received the word. And when a person receives the word of God, they are born of the Spirit. The incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23, the incorruptible seed borns us into the family of God. And when we're born of the Spirit, we are instantaneously baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Now that's 1 Corinthians 12:12. Don't you ever forget 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. Now don't you ever forget, the Word of God will speak for itself and it'll stand when the world's on fire. Now, frankly, at that time of the year, water was very, very scarce in Jerusalem. They had big cisterns. In fact, they're still there. Cisterns where they stored rainwater. And at the feast time, of course, there were thousands of extra people and they had to have water. And so at that particular season of the year, the water supply was low. Now, the River Jordan, of course, is not too far from Jerusalem, yet it's quite a distance to travel as they traveled in that day. But I'm saying all that to say this. I believe these 3,000 were baptized in water, maybe not all of them that day. Now, they could have been. I'm not saying they were not. They could have been. But I do know that all 3,000 were baptized in the Holy Ghost that day, and it happened the split second they received the Word of God. It tells us they received the Word. Now, in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. That means they were unshakable and immovable. They refused to budge. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, when it says they continued in the apostles' doctrine, the Greek means teaching. That is, the apostles taught the Word of God as Jesus had taught it to them, and those who heard the Word continued in the Word. They were not looking for something new. As we'll find later, over in Athens, they were always looking for something new. They were always ready to hear something new. Now, I've turned to Hebrews chapter 2, and let me show you something here. In verse 1 of chapter 2, Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now watch it. God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, now listen, according to his own will, according to God's own will, the first believers, the first Christians, the first disciples, according to God's will, they performed tremendous miracles, even to the raising of the dead. They actually raised people who were dead. Paul, yes, and even other disciples. Now, I read that. In other words, we read in the next verse, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully so you won't misunderstand. I believe in divine healing. That's the only kind of healing there is. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for nurses. Thank God for drugs. Now, there are some medicine that certainly is marvelous. Yes, indeed. And I thank God for doctors, and I thank God for hospitals. But let me tell you something. I don't care what the doctor does, and I don't care what kind of a high-powered drug the doctor gives you, and I don't care how much the doctor may operate. If God Almighty doesn't heal, there is no healing. There is no healing. Now, any doctor that's not an atheist, any doctor that's not an atheist will tell you that God heals the human body. God uses the scalpel. God uses, well, after all, what is medicine made of? medicine is made of the, well, of course, in some cases, herbs and other things that God Almighty put here. Of course, now today I know that there are some antibiotics and so forth that's made through the miracle of chemistry that I can't explain. I couldn't begin to explain. But some medicines are made out of nature's products. Well, of course, all, even if it's synthetic, why, it comes from something that God Almighty made. All things are made by Him. Now, God gives men wisdom and God gives men understanding and brains. And many times men do marvelous things, even though they may be sinners. They might not be born again, so far as that's concerned. But God gives them the ability to do things. All wisdom comes from God. The devil cannot give a man wisdom to do some of the things that even sinners have done in our day and age. But I'm saying all that to say this. I believe in divine healing. I believe God can heal cancer. I believe God can heal tuberculosis. I believe God can heal heart trouble. I believe God can heal anything, any disease. But I'm saying this, beloved, we do not have men on earth today, regardless of what they claim, who do and perform the miracles that Paul and Peter and others perform. Now, I want you to understand me. I want you to get it straight. I believe in Bible divine healing. I believe in scriptural divine healing. I believe in divine healing according to the teaching of God's holy word. I don't believe in some of the modern brands or the modern methods. I don't believe in some of the modern divine healing. But I do believe that God gives men the gift of prayer. Now, let me say this, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. We read up here that they prayed, they broke bread. Let's see, which verse is it? Verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, let me say this. There are very few people today that have the gift of intercessory prayer. Now, you think this through before you condemn me for what I say. Now, I pray. I pray, but I'm going to confess to you that I'm not a very effective intercessory. I do not have the ministry of effective intercessory prayer. Now, that's what I want to say. Listen, if God has, if I have any gift from God, the only gift that I have or claim to have or profess to have is the gift of evangelism. Now, God has blessed my ministry in evangelism. I don't think there have been many poor fellows that have ever traveled any more miles, preached any more sermons than this unworthy South Carolina farmer, and I was reared on the farm. God blessed me with the gift of preaching evangelistic messages. What I mean by that, I'm not a teacher and I'm not a pastor. I couldn't pastor a church. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the grace. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability. So God called me to the only thing. God knew what I could do, and God knew the only thing that I could do. Now, I'm not a prayer warrior. I pray every day. I pray. I pray. Certainly I pray. But I do not have the gift of intercessory prayer. Some people do. You know, some people can absolutely lose themselves, and they don't hear a word the preacher says. They pray, and they are of more value than any preacher that ever lived. Now, that's right. That's right. Listen, you can have a revival without preaching, but you can't have a revival without praying. You read all through the Acts, and when we get to chapter 16, you'll see that they prayed. Lydia was praying, and Paul and Silas prayed before the fortune teller was saved. They were praying when the jailer was saved. You just read all through the book of Acts. Prayer, 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 prayer. Now, these people prayed, and God gave them unusual gifts. Let me tell you something. In this age, we're too busy to pray. We don't have time to pray. We say little prayers, and we pray little prayers. But, brother, some of the old-timers, and even Jesus, of course, spent a whole night. How many people listening to me right now? How many? And I don't want you to write to me. I'm not asking you to write me. But how many dear people listening to me have ever spent a night in prayer? I tell you what to do. It'll surprise you to death. One of these days when you bow down to pray, if you'll look at the clock or look at your watch and just go ahead and pray, just pray your soul clear, just pray, and then look at your watch, and you'll be amazed to discover that you didn't pray over 5 or 10 minutes or 15 at the most. And my friend, some of the dear men like Finney and Livingston and Stanley and some of those men, they prayed hours and hours. Now, there are a few people today. There are a few people today who have the gift of intercessory prayer. And God does things through these people. But now let me tell you something. You might as well face it, beloved. Today, in this streamlined age of religion, we do not have men like these apostles that get victory and results as they did. Now, when they prayed, the place was shaken. Have you ever been in a place, bless your soul? Now, listen, I'm telling the truth. I'm confessing mine, and I want you to confess yours and tell the truth. Have you ever been in a church? Have you ever been in a meeting house? Have you ever been in an auditorium, an armory, a courthouse, a city auditorium? Have you ever been anywhere and the preacher prayed and the place shook and trembled and creaked and rocked, huh? Well, now I'll show you in this book of Acts, mister. They prayed and the place was shaken, and they prayed and God answered. Oh, yes. Now, what do we have here? They prayed. Fear came upon every soul. Wonders, signs, and wonders were done by the apostles. Gigantic signs, tremendous wonders were performed by these dear men. And they sold their possessions. Well, verse 44, all believed, were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and their goods, and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They continued daily with one accord. Now, there's the need today. There's the need. Listen, you call it what you want to. Yeah, you go ahead and call it. You say that this church was a Baptist church. Somebody says it was a Methodist church. Somebody says it was a Presbyterian church. Somebody says it was a Pentecostal. Somebody else says it was Catholic. Somebody else says it was Episcopalian. You go ahead and name it. You go ahead and name it, and then I'll name it for you. I'll give you the Bible name. You want the Bible name? Well, you'll find the Bible name in Acts 20, and I'm turning, and of course, when we get over there, and that'll be a long time, but when we get there, we'll study the church. Now, you call this church anything you want to, but here is the name of the Pentecostal church. Here's the name of the church that was born at Pentecost. Here's the name. In Acts 20:28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now, what did the Holy Ghost do on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Ghost was poured out upon these people, these disciples, that they might be the spokesmen, the speakers, the preachers, the evangelists. And God had already told them that he would give them this power. Jesus did. God the Father speaking to Jesus, through Jesus. And Jesus said he uttered always the words the Father gave him to utter. So God told Jesus to tell the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, and they'd receive power to be witnesses, power to witness in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost most parts of the earth. Now they received that power, and so God appointed them overseers, and God is still calling and anointing and appointing men to be overseers in God's church, pastors and so forth. So here it is. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. Now, you say it was a Baptist church. You say it was a Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian. It was the church of Almighty God. And when I say the church of God, I mean Jehovah, not the denomination that we know today, the Church of God. There are some dear people, some dear preachers, and I know some of them who belong to the Church of God. That's the denomination. But this is not the denomination that we know today. This is the Church of the Living God, the Church of Jehovah, and it is the church which He, God. Now watch it. I'm not abusing the Scriptures. We see in verse 28, God, there's a comma, which he, and the personal pronoun points back to God, which God hath purchased with his, and the his points back to the he, and the he points back to God. So here it is, the church of God, which God purchased with God's own blood. That's right. Okay. So the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost was the attending physician, and the church was born, and the disciples were anointed, and they went out preaching, and everybody heard the gospel in their own language. And God used them, and they performed signs and wonders, mighty signs and mighty wonders, according to the will of God, according to the will of God. Now then, they continued daily with one accord. They were all together. We didn't have two Baptists and two Methodists and two Presbyterians and two Pentecostals and two Catholics and two Lutherans and two Episcopalians and two this and two that. They had one church, one church. Well, preacher, are you against denominations? No, I'm not against denominations. But denominations are man-made, and the church of Jehovah is God-bought. and God born, the church of the living God. I'm talking about the church that God purchased with God's own blood, the church of Jehovah. That's what I'm talking about. They were with one accord, and they continued daily in the temple, and they went from house to house breaking bread. Now, let me say this. I am not against church fellowship, Sunday school picnics, homecomings. I'm not against it at all. I'm not against it. But I want you to notice, they went from house to house breaking their bread, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and they were praising God. While they were eating their meat from house to house, they praised God, and they had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And of course, the Greek reads such as were being saved day by day. They were added to the church day by day. Now, here's the one thing that I'd like to drive home deep in your heart today. And if I can get this across to you, then my friend, my time has been well spent. The church that was born at Pentecost was one church with one mind, one heart, one love, one desire. They worked in accord. They had perfect harmony. Now, if you want to know the greatest need in the church, if you want to know the greatest need, the greatest need in the church is for God's dear little children. I don't mean sinners and hypocrites. I mean God's born again ones to get on their knees at an old-fashioned altar and ask God to empty us of all selfishness and pride, and ask God to fill us with His love, with Himself, fill us with the Spirit, and take out all strife and animosity and division, and fill us with His love and with His Spirit, and make us of one accord, that all people will respect God's people, God's church, God's preachers, and God's Sunday school teachers, and God's dear little children. Now, that's a sad thing today. The world has lost respect for preachers, evangelists, and for church members. Do you know that? The world, not all, but you know as well as I know that the great percentage of sinners have no respect for church members. And I said church members. There are some Christians, there are many ministers who demand respect if people will study their lives. But the mass of church members are not dedicated soul, spirit, and body. They are not sanctified, blameless. They are not controlled by the Holy Ghost and filled with the love of God. Now, that's right. And that's the thing that has hurt the cause of Christ a million times more than the liquor stores, the dope rings, the nightclubs, the dance halls, and everything else. The thing that hurts the church more than anything else on earth is worldly-minded, careless church members. Now, the first church grew like wildfire. Why? They had fellowship. They had perfect harmony. They were of one mind, one soul, one love, and they had tremendous victory. God help me to be the kind of a church member. God help me to be the kind of a preacher that I wished I had been when I stand before God. Father, may every Christian listening to me now, may every believer listening to my voice bow their heads and shut their eyes and rededicate their lives to Thee. O God, convict Christians now to lay their lives on God's altar. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Did you know that many of the great books about the Bible and teaching the Bible were written centuries ago? And of course, many of them have been lost forever, but some have been preserved, and so that we can enjoy them again today. And why do I mention this? Because that is what our gift offer B is all about. It contains five books by great men of God that my dad really enjoyed reading about and learning from. And he would go to old bookstores. Every time he went to a revival, he would seek out old bookstores, secondhand bookstores, and look for books about the Bible from great preachers. And he has made these five available to us today. He had them reprinted so that we could learn from these great men of God. And I know you'll recognize most of them. There are five books in this offer, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the ministry in the amount of $5 or more. Now, I'm sure many of you can send a little more, and I think you should pray about it and do as the Lord directs. And if you can send $10, $20, $50, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I'm sure you'll be blessed for your giving. And if you would like to order several sets of this offer to share with others, you may do that. Just tell me how many sets you want, and please send a donation of at least $5 for each set. And in return, I'm going to send you first a book by A.C. Gabelline entitled The Olivet Discourse. It's a study of Matthew 24 and 25, 127 pages long. Then we have Plain Papers on the Holy Spirit by Dr. C.I. Schofield, the same Dr. Schofield who put the notes in the Schofield Reference Bible. There are 5 chapters in this book, plus an introduction. Then we have Night Scenes of the Bible by F.E. Marsh, and then According to Promise by Charles Spurgeon. Everyone knows who he was, 128 pages long. Finally, Thou Fool by Dwight L. Moody, with chapters such as Power for Service, How Backsliders May Return, How to Deal with Inquiries, and so on. So to get all of this, just ask for Gift Offer B and send your gift of at least $5. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.